take care of them. We want to hear the word of God. With us, we have a friend, a very, very good friend of mine, and he has ministered to us before. And I believe that this man is a seasoned man. He has ministered the word of God in different parts of Kenya. And when I knew this man, he was just a blessing. I just love his simplicity and his hunger for the Lord. I've been able to visit with them in their home. And recently, him and his wife were blessed with a baby boy. Amen. And we've had an opportunity to go and visit with them and just see this handsome young man that has been introduced into the world. Amen. And so, please, together with me, I want to invite Pastor Steve Muchori to come and bring the word of God to us. Amen. Can we appreciate the man of God? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Pastor called me a different name. Of late, I've been given so many names. Pastor Steve, Evangelist Steve, Murori. Now, like 3 weeks ago, I got another name, Papa Murori. Amen. And I love it. You know, you look at the babies, you're like, God, this is wonderful. That tiny baby glowing and like, wow, there is God in heaven. Otherwise, before I go ahead, I want to thank you for your prayers. I know Noah was calling me when my wife was in labor and like, how are things going? I tell her, things are good. And I know you are with us in prayers. One of the things that was very clear that we could feel your prayers. Amen. And that's what I call brotherhood. Being in God and walking together as one another in Christ. I don't want to speak a lot of stuff and because I want us to go to the one, but I have a few friends that I told them we come here, we fellowship together, and hopefully they will be arrested you in this place. Have Kimodo there at the back. Just stand and say hi. And maybe somebody welcome him here. Nobody even want to hug him. My God, we have a problem here, Pastor. Just give him a good hug and he feel like I need to come here next week. Amen. I have another friend of mine here, being a long friend and quite a long friend of mine. We were in Bible school together. Then we met here. We are moving together. And I saw you coming too. Is she the one or we have to wait for another one? Okay. Stanley, please. Amen. You know, when you join Form 1, there was a name we were calling people Mono. So sometimes you join a place, you are new, and then you understand what I'm going to say. Amen. Hallelujah. Sarah, welcome. Amen. I have another friend of mine. Actually, it's my first cousin, and we just happen to be friends. We are cousins, but we are friends. We knew one another like we are not cousins, and he happened to become a gospel artist. Those long time ago, I knew him in his wedding. Although we were family, I didn't came to know him until his wedding when he approached me, can you become one of those people? In the line. One of the people in the line. And then I told him, okay, it's okay. So I had not before wear the suit, so it was an opportunity to wear a suit. So I opened and said, okay. And I remember the suit, the jacket was white and a black was a mix and something. Yeah, I remember. And it was a wonderful wedding. And then that's the time I started of thinking of doing a wedding because it was so glorious. And it's called Moses Disho. I want to welcome him, come here. And he's a gospel artist. And I want to request him to sing us one song. I know a number of people don't hear Kikuyu. There is a song he have called Kiuma. And it's like God's, what do you call it? The apple, the how God protects you in your eyes. So I want us to really jump and sing. Let us break that thing. You know, when pastor said, when you partake of this blend in that man, and someone was just checking yourself, and then everybody is so holy in a holy of holies. So I want us to rejoice in that presence. Amen? So I want us to stand on our 2 feet, wherever we are, because I want to sing. Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My name is Moses Dicho. His mother and my father are brother and sister, so that's how close we are. Sira ya kutafutiria na uko ati grandmother wake alikuwa cousin wa my grandmother mwingine. So it's that close, and I love him so much. I love how he loves God. And actually, he's the one who made me to meet Pastor Tony and the family. They have become a great friend of mine. And the love has been extended to the church. Actually, this is my second time to be in this church. I love you all. The song he has just requested is that God protects us the way he protects the apple of his eye. Praise the Lord. So in other words, you are the apple of God's eye. That's how variable you are in the eyes of God. Let's sing together. Hey, today na makofi kidogo.
Don't know where we can go. nube kona moko mano. Onakana na ugi wao. Wenyewe hiya wa mainya.
Somebody to stand on your 2 feet and shout hallelujah. My God, protect me. Hallelujah. Come on, I want to crazy the people today. You know, we have been so much in teaching and that, and people look serious. Today, I want to be a little bit different. Come on, stand on your 2 feet and tell them, you know, tell them if you don't speak Kikuyu, I want you to say Jamu. You know, Mama Mubi was telling me the way they were hiding a key and they were in a neighborhood, there was no Kikuyus. Now listen to this so that you understand what I'm saying. And then you could tell Mubi, one of the kids, Safi, and the other kid, Rugwamogeka. And they didn't ever know. So Jam is like being tightened together. You know, you are like so tight. So say Jamu. Jamu. Now tell your neighbor, stop Jamu. We are in the house of God. Amen. You know, I'm glad because of what God is doing in our lives. I'm glad because God brings us together and integrates us together and makes us one body in Him. Amen. Now look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, we are not mourning. We are celebrating. We came here for celebration. Amen. We may be seated in the presence of God. Now, let me ask you, how many people were glad they were praying for our veteran on a veteran today, and they have been praying for American Army at war? How many people have been praying? Very few people. Now, how many people now, because I saw a number of people, have been praying for our army in war in Somalia? I was trying to cut you. Let me tell you something. Let's remember our men in uniform in war. We have a problem in Somalia and they are there to fix it. We know what it means. Let's pray for them. Amen. So let's remember every now and then to pray for them. John chapter number 11. Today I don't want to preach. I want to boost your faith and push you somewhere. I believe today there is a miracle in the house. I believe there is a miracle in the house. John chapter number 11. Who is a good leader here? Can I have someone lead for Lars, because I want us to lead the whole chapter of John chapter number 11. Amen. Let me give you the mic.
John chapter 11. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they say, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?"
Amen. I want to speak on a message tonight. Come forth. Tell your neighbor, come forth. That's why I didn't finish up, because I want us to finish up as we end up. Now, I want to say this. Jesus is the Word. And the Word of God, the Bible says, is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the piercing of separating of the soul, asunder, and spirit. It is able to go direct inside your bone marrow and change the chemical reaction and bring something else. It is the one that was spoken from the beginning, and God come and say, "Let there be," and it was. And God said, and he said, and he spoke a word. It is the one that changed the foundation and everything. The Bible says everything will pass away. Let me say this. Your body will pass away, but the word in you shall remain. It is the one that is everlasting. But I want you to understand, when you go to the shop and you buy a blade, there is the cover in the blade. And everything that is outside is just a rebel of what is inside, or a cover of that. Now, when God was speaking a word, he spoke it and it was written in the Bible. This is just a cover of what is inside the word. But listen to me. When you buy the blade, you don't eat the cover, but you tear the blade and you get inside, and you get what is inside and you eat the blade. And I want you to know, in this word, you don't eat the page, you don't eat the book, but you meditate and you get what is written here through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And when God says, my word is active and alive, it is the spirit in the word that moves the spoken word. Listen to me. The written word has no power until it is spoken. It is the spoken word in your heart that bring life, that bring change, that bring dynamics, that bring what we are looking for. When the church have the word but does not speak the word, become a stagnant church if it's not a dead church. When a believer does not have the word and does not speak the word, he is no longer active inside him. There is no life of God working and operating in him. It is the spoken one that I have given unto you. Everywhere in the Bible, whenever Jesus came into a situation, he spoke a word. Though he was God and he was the word, he had to speak himself up. And the reaction and the move and things happened. That is why when you pray in the heart, it's not dynamic. But when you speak the word to the atmosphere, to the surrounding, things move. The Bible says, in the beginning, the world was formless and had no shape. And things were just in chaotic. But the Bible says, and God spoke a word. And things start forming, things come together. Listen to me, in your situation, there is a one that you can speak. It is not cry and weeping and tears that you change things. Prayer without the word is just a waste of time. It's a religious activity. It is prayer full of the one that changes things. I like when people pray and cry. But let me tell you something. Cry and tears does not change things. It is the word in your prayer life that changes things. And Jesus said, I have given you my word. So when Jesus was coming, it was the life of God that was coming. Because what was in him was all what Jesus was. And the Bible says, a certain time, one of the friends of Jesus was sick, and his name was Lazarus. So Lazarus fell sick. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. They had preached with Jesus. They had eaten with Jesus. He had known Jesus. And the Bible says when he was sick, a report came to Jesus. They reported to Jesus, "Your friend Lazarus is sick." And we don't want to speak much, but we don't know what you want to do. Let me tell you something simply. You are in church and worshiping, things might happen. The Bible says, when you pass through many waters. The Bible doesn't say if you pass. So there are things that comes. Even if you're born again, Bible busting believer, talking in tongues of angels and everybody. Let me tell you something. Things come in our lives. Situationalize. Things shake our lives. The Bible says in this family, they were shaking, there were chaos. There was a problem that was so much that they didn't know what to do. But the Bible says when Jesus heard about it, he said, "I have to go there." Let me tell you something. Jesus know your problem. When you kneel down to pray, he know, he have heard. And something is happening. I have prayed, I haven't seen the result, but I know somewhere in the atmosphere, something is happening. He have heard my prayer. I've never gotten a good job, but he have heard my prayer. I am in financial problem, but he has heard my prayer. I am sick and something is happening, but let me tell you something, he know about it. And the Bible says he started moving there. And by the time he arrived there, it was 4 days. Time has passed. There was such a delay on the way. The traffic and the matato were not moving so fast. And the cars and problem were there. But let me tell you something, no matter the problem, no matter the time, Jesus, you're alive. For delay is no denial. I'll not leave the church because God has not heard my prayer. I'll not stop tithing because I'm not financially blessed. I'll not stop walking with God because he has stayed before he blessed me. I know he is doing something. The Bible says when Jesus arrived, already Lazarus is dead and he is buried. And people are all over. They came to sympathize with this family, to help them to mourn. You know, when you're in problem and you're praying and you're believers, they are professional sympathizers. They'll surround you and tell you, you know what? Even me, I have gone through this. But you know what? We have nothing we can do. They are professional sympathizers. Some you speak when you can hear them and say, "Pastor Mulefuro is in the church praying. What is happening now?" They'll speak a word that you crush your spirit. They surrounded this family. They were all over. Actually, the multitude was so much that even when Jesus came, he had to stay outside. Because people were all of us sympathizing with them. Of how problem of the economy, of euro, of wars and all that. And how things you never come together. They even didn't realize that Jesus was in their midst. They even didn't know that something was happening. They didn't know they had all what it would take for change and for things to move. Sometimes you have to shut people down and lock yourself and say, "I know my Redeemer liveth."
I know something will happen. I know there is something happening in the spiritual realm. For faith is ability to see the things that are not seen as though they are seen. It is to see the unseen in the world of seeing. It is to look at the problem in the eyes and tell them, although you are there stagnant, although you are standing before me, something is happening. And the Bible says, they went, some they looked and they knew Jesus was there. And they told Mother and Mary, you know what? Jesus is here. And when they had the report that Jesus is there, the Bible says, Mother came running. And when he came running, he started asking problems. You know what? I have been playing here for several days. You never came in time. Although you know, Pastor, what? You just came when I'm so sick. 3 days I've been in hospital, but you are there, busy working there. You don't understand. They know they are friend of Jesus. But also they have been caught up. She was caught up in the spirit of complaint. They don't see the possibility. They don't see things changing. They don't see what can happen. And Mother start complaining. And Jesus told Mother, you look at this. Your brother is not dead. He is just asleep. And before even Jesus could finish, Mary had said, you know what? I know that. He will resurrect on the day of resurrection. Before God said, today is the day of miracle, he said, you know what? I've been prayed so many days, so today is not an exception. Tell them they can continue praying, but you know what? They don't have work to do. Mother didn't want to apply the word. And sometimes you may get tired of applying the word because you think nothing is going to happen. But the Bible says Mary was just in the house. And when she heard that Jesus is outside, the Bible says she just came out quickly. And when she just came out quickly, she just moved. Instead of asking Jesus, what are you doing? You didn't come in time. The Bible says she fell down and worshipped. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Instead of complaining, you better worship. Instead of murmuring, you better rise up and say, you know what? My God is alive. My God is living. My God is God. It doesn't matter. Like the way Daniel said, even if my God save me or not, I know my God is alive and he liveth. And the Bible says she fell down and worshipped. And the Bible said immediately she fell down and worshipped, Jesus was moved. Let me tell you something. She may be there. You may have prayed. She know about the problem. But she is waiting for you to recognize and worship him. Stop looking at the problem and worship the sofa of the problem. Come on, am I talking to you? Some of us, we magnify the problem that even when Jesus comes, we don't worship him and tell him, you are greater than the problem. My brother is dead. That is a fact. That is a truth. But tonight, I decide one thing. You are the living one. I shall worship you. That's why we have so many people who are mourning in the church on Sunday morning. And when my brother touched the keyboard and said, come on, shout to the Lord, they looked at him and say, are you crazy? You don't understand what I'm going through. I am. If God doesn't come together with all his angels, I'm done. Let me tell you something. Continue mourning, and he shall continue standing outside. But when you come here and say, it doesn't matter, I'm not here to display my problem. I'm here to worship God. It's not the way I look. Come on, you may talk the way you talk. But here I have decided I shall worship my God. And start jumping and people are looking at you. These people even don't know you are in America. Come on, tell your neighbor, continue with your class mentality. And God will continue standing outside. Let me put this one in Kikuyu. Kuri atwa gemate da kogiyo. Kinyamakinya kanitho guo. Sorry, anyway. Neke ya thomirwo. The Bible says on this particular time, Jesus had been standing outside. He knew Lazarus is dead. He had come for the mission to accomplish and save and bring forth Lazarus. But the Bible says something. He was waiting for something because people have magnified the dead more than the one who lays the dead. Life was there. And people, there are people, when you go to them, they are talking about how things are bad, how economy are bad, how things are, come on, shut your mouth. I want to say how my God can do. He is the creator. He is a powerful one. He can do anything. In actual sense, the Bible says, when Jesus was told Lazarus is dead, he said, okay, I'm glad that he is dead. Let me tell you something. Your situation is not to kill you. Jesus is glad when you are in that problem so that he can have an opportunity to show who he is. I'm glad you are going through what you are going through. I'm glad you are going through that problem. I'm glad because unless you are sick and God heals you, you never know what the healing means. You never know God as the healer. Unless you are in poverty and God comes and pick you up and give you money and lift you, you never know what it means for God as the provider. For he meet all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I didn't have anything on fridge. I didn't have nothing. But God supplied. It's not my job. It's not my whatever, but it's my God. Sometimes, God, you shut all the other avenue that you can be able to wait upon him. For them that waited upon the Lord. We have entered a level of mediocres in our faith that we stop waiting upon God. We are waiting upon the Lord we are. This is a great nation. But let me tell you something. A time is coming when the world will stop looking at the great nation and they look at him, the provider. And Jesus looked at them and said, okay, until you understand who I am, I'll still stand outside. As until you know who I am. Although we are associated with him, we have never known him as God. Anybody in the Bible, whoever God has ever worked with him, they have ever had an experience with him. That's why we say God of Jacob, because he met him in a particular way. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, all these people, they were in a situation, they experienced God. God will only become a mystery until you experience him. Until you have a touch with him to such a level whereby you know that you know my God, who he is. And the Bible says, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you have been here, my brother will not have died. Therefore, Jesus saw her weeping, and Jews who had come with her weeping, she groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Listen to me. Worship, you trouble God until he does something. And they said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. And the Bible says, when Jesus said, see how the Jews say, see how he loved him. And some of them could not this man who have opened the eyes of the blind also have kept the man from dying? You see, when you start worshiping, even other people start seeing God, you are God, and what he can do. And Jesus said, again, groaning in himself, come to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Mother, the sister of him who was dead, saying to him, Lord, by this time, you see, mother had a problem. Mother needed a surgery, a spiritual surgery. Jesus is right here on the tomb and staring her. Can this stone be removed? And she is just there. You know how long I have been in the church? I've never seen God doing such a thing. I've never God lifting anybody. I've been in the church in praise and worship for longer than anybody else. So what are you talking about? Let me tell you something. There is something God wants you to remove. That face of doubt. That people that always give you negativity. And God is saying, I want you to remove them that I can move in. But you know this friend, like my standard, is the one who welcomed me here. He gave me a shelter. But you see what? I want you to remove these people. I'm not particular saying that. There are people who are negative. They always give you negativity. How problems they are big. How things cannot be done. How things are in chaos. You are coming out of prayer and fasting for 7 days. And believing I'm praying for 7 days. And because the seven is the number of the Lord God, you do it. And you come out full of energy and believing God. But when you knock in your house, somebody visited you and say, you know what? Things are tough. And you forgot the 7 days you have been in the presence of God and start believing what these people are telling you. And Jesus is telling them, remove this stone. Remove this doubt. Some of you, you need to remove your TV set because you're always on a CNN talking about news that are everything. And all what is in your mind is not faith. It's something different. Even when you hand the news, you're always bumping, you're always worried. And God is telling you, you think this is the solution, I'm the solution. You are not of this world. People may fight in the world, but I'm not of this world. You are from the above. So remove anything stopping you from operating in the level that I have called you to operate in. And you say, no, in fact, I need to upgrade my cable. Which is the best cable? I need to call them tomorrow. There are a lot of news happening, and I want to know. Come on, let me tell you something. You may know all the news, but you may lose your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and the more you hear is what you believe. So if you hear about the negative, you believe the negative. But when you hear the positive, the word of God, you believe the written and the power and the spoken word of God. And the Bible says, they went ahead and removed the stone. And Jesus looked at the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. By this time, Lazarus was smelling. But let me tell you something. God is ready to mess himself up and come to that situation when you think that marriage will never survive, but he is ready to mess him up and come in that marriage and say, you know what? Come forth. Although you are in this situation, people have spoken, people have put names on you, I'm ready to hold your hands and dine with you. I'm ready to call you forth. It's not what they say about you, it's what I say about you. Although there are so many things we're learning aloud, come forth. Tonight, I don't know what you're going through, but listen to me. You are coming forth. You are coming out of poverty into the riches of God. You are coming out of struggle into the glory of God. Tonight, come. Say, I'm coming forth from struggles, from sickness, from problems. From chaos, come. When I say come, say forth. Come. Come. Come out of problem. In the name of Jesus. I want to declare to somebody life, you are coming forth. I want to declare tonight, you are coming forth out of those problems, out of those struggles, out of that persistence, problem, and sickness. Come. Tell your neighbor, coming forth. Come forth. Come out. Come out of the tomb. But look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you see that stone. That friend always take you. Although, you know, I've been in the church, he always take me to take 2 wine and 3 beers. And before I know, tell your neighbor, come forth. But you know this is America. Come forth. Come forth. Tell your neighbor, come forth. Come forth. We justify and ice everything and make it look so icing and so appealing. And pastor may look and say, okay, may I touch this thing? Let me tell you something, pastor. I may touch it. And whoever feels it's a problem, let me tell you something, you have a problem. And tell your neighbor, come out of that problem. Come. 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 Tonight, I want us to do something. I want us to literally do a prophetic act and come out of those things. I want you to stand on your 2 feet. Hallelujah. I don't know. I want you to see the problem, to look at that problem. I don't know what you are going through. I don't know the problem you are in. I don't know the grave that you are in. I don't know the thing that is hurting you. I don't know what is hurting your life. Get out of your seat. Get a free space. And I want you to literally light on your feet the problem you are going through, if you can. Wherever you are, and make that circle and stand on that circle. Light that thing on that circle and stand on that circle and look at that problem. Say, my problems. Now take 2-3 minutes and mention those problems before God. In the name of Jesus, disease, sickness, poverty, chaos. In the name of Jesus, right now, you are standing here. Now say, my problems. I have mentioned you. But right now, this is your grave today. And I'm coming out. I come out, move out. Name of Jesus, I want you to literally move out of that problem. Start there again. Say, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Some people, they are coming out and they are starting on the problem. listen to me. I believe in a prophetic act. There are some prophetic acts. They are powerful. I want you to see that thing. And I declare you are coming forth. You are coming out of that problem. Now stand there again so that we come together. Look at that problem. Wow. Now, say in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're a class people, just be a class. We'll continue there. But for me, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Say in the name of Jesus, all my problems, all those sickness from the enemy, from Satan, whatever you are from, I declare now, I'm coming out. I come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Say, I'm free. I'm free. Shout, I'm free. Shout, I'm free. Now, let me show you the shout of freedom. This is what happened when they were moving around the walls of Jericho. Prophetically, God was telling them, it is not the way you think. I want to mess up your might here. I want you to go around the wall of Jericho 7 times. And on the 7th time you shout and those walls, you fall down. I'll shout Jesus 7 times. And then on the 7th time shout, if you can learn aloud, a shout of victory. Amen. On the 7th time, give us a noise. One, say Jesus. On the 7th time, we say Jesus, we shout, we rejoice. Amen. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. People high five and tell them I'm free. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So before I give Pastor the mic. Hallelujah. How many people are free? Hallelujah. Now listen to me. Purpose to rejoice now. Purpose to forget the problem and rejoice. You have to purpose within yourself. For what God can do, no man can do. But you have to purpose from within. Listen to me. Some of us, if we go back, we practice a retro faith we were in Kenya, we will move this land. Some of you, you went to embassy and everybody just forget everything and ask you, how long are you going to stay? I don't know. And they're like, I want you to see that faith, what it did for you. I want you to purpose to see the glory of the Lord. Stop seeing the problem. Stop seeing the chaos. Stop seeing that smelling problem and be positive to what God is doing and will do and is doing in the spirit. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Then 1 minute I'll give the pastor the mic. You know what? I thought I'll pray for some people, but God told me there are miracles that already have happened. There are miracles that already. You don't need prayers. I want you to see that solution. God has done it. Amen. Otherwise, God bless you so much. Amen.